This size sort of is out of place, but it's sort of important in terms of how much blood is in the human body, roughly 5 centimeters, 5 centimeters.
It's a sweet graphic.
So when we talk about like how much blood can you lose later, if you lose 1 quart, you're okay, because you donate, what is it, a pint or whatever when you donate blood? So how many pints are in a quart? Anybody? I'm bad at that.
Two.
Two. So you could lose 1 quart and still function pretty well. You could probably lose 2 quarts and maybe not function nearly as good. 3 quarts and we're in trouble. So has anybody ever used an AED, an automatic external defibrillator? Oh yeah, you would have. Has anybody seen these at work? Has everybody been trained on how to use them? They're almost idiot-proof. By that I say you can see that it has 2 buttons. It has an on button, which is there, and then it has a push button. So it also has these little sticky pads over on this side of, and it shows you pictures of where you're supposed to put them. So should you be somewhere, and likely you're not going to be 2 hours out on a motorcycle ride in the middle of nowhere with an AED easily accessible, but if you're at work or somewhere else and nobody knows how to use one, you take this thing out and you turn it on, and it will tell you what to do. It will say, attach electrodes. And then you take those little sticky things and you put them on the human body exactly as they are in that picture. And then you have to plug it in. That's the other thing. You have to plug the cord into the cord. And it only goes in one way on most machines. And then it will say, stand by. Analyzing rhythm. And then it will tell you to push the shock button or not push the shock button. If you have to push the shock button, it says, do not touch the patient. Stand back. Stand clear. You do not want to be touching them when you push that button.
Some of them don't even have the shock button anymore.
Yeah, some of them don't have shock buttons
anymore.
It
just flat out says, it analyzes the heartbeat, says shock required.
Don't touch the patient.
Step back. Then it counts down and then it delivers the shock.
It's like getting tased, but you could get tased in a way that your heart would then stop. Now there's 2 of you down, and that AED is already on one person, so you're out of luck. But they're pretty idiot-proof, but honestly, 2 hours out in the middle of nowhere, you're not going to have them. Oh, not going right up. Over there.
I have to find my notes.
Good resource for like all the CPR and the AED stuff, if you want to read more stuff, is the Red Cross has the handbook for the CPR class for like professional rescuers. It's available for free, redcross.org/CPRpros. It's like 40 pages, you can read it like that.
There's good stuff to learn about that, and that Red Cross class is actually pretty good. It's, I think, an 8-hour day or 2 8-hour
days.
Yeah, full
day.
Like
what's the cost?
Like $110. You can do it at the Red Cross down in South Seattle. And
once a year, Seattle Red Cross does CPR Sunday.
Yeah, at the
and they do it for free.
Hmm.
Yeah, pick up your Sunday, but.
And it's just CPR.
Well,
but it's
CPR
a
and first aid.
Is it first aid now?
When I did, it was first aid.
Yeah,
that's
the
CPR.
The layperson's one, right? Like the layperson's CPR class? Like,
yeah.
Same thing, if you get enough people together, they'll come to your site.
Sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
some
workplaces do it.
It's a minimum of 8. They will come. I don't remember what the cost is, but they bring like sample. Because I used to teach for the Red Cross, they'll bring trainer ones. They'll bring CPR mannequins. They'll put you through the full class.
Can we shock him?
You get to pretend like you're shocking and say shock delivered, but it doesn't do anything. I did want to briefly discuss ambulance rides, helicopter rides. One of the things that Ian had in his email when he sent out was he wasn't sure when he should go to the hospital. So I don't remember, you were like riding on a track and then you crashed, and then the EMTs are like, I don't know what to do. You'll be all right.
Pretty much.
So what we called the what Ian experienced something, the mechanism of injury. If you come off your bike and you roll a lot and you do a lot of stuff, there's a mechanism for you to be injured. That mechanism was pretty hard. You came off your bike. If you're going 60 miles an hour and you come off your bike, your body's now traveling at 60 miles an hour and it's going to come to an abrupt stop when it hits the ground, and then it's going to roll around a little bit. All the while, you're hurting your bones, hurting your vessels, hurting your internal organs. So when in doubt, get in the ambulance. wreck your motorcycle really, really hard and you're within the ability to get to an ambulance, by all means, go for an ambulance.
And it's the red light one, right?
Just well, we talked about that a little bit last time. That's a hard thing to talk about.
It's the red.
Getting the red ambulance versus the white ambulance.
Because the red ambulance is fire department, right? Which your taxes
would be. But it doesn't work that way in this county. This county is, I'll kind of discuss that more towards the end about which ambulance to get into. But so when in doubt, go to the hospital. If you feel that you're okay and you're not dizzy, nauseous, you're bleeding externally anywhere very severely, and you have no neck or back pain, you could probably go by car, not get on another motorcycle and ride. But if you're 2 hours out in the middle of nowhere and you wrecked and you can still pick yourself up and ride, you have to ask yourself, can I wait? How long do I want to wait before somebody else comes by? If I get on my bike, will I end up like Christopher Reeve, and is that okay? Alternately, I could just lay here and die. So, I mean, you have to ask yourself those questions. So, in Seattle proper, if you get in a wreck, my advice is to go to the hospital. The hospital that you want to go to is Harborview. If I could express any more statements about Harborview, 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 Harborview. Why Harborview? It is the number one trauma hospital in the Pacific Northwest. People from Alaska get flown to Harborview. People from Montana sometimes get flown to Harborview. If you get injured on the coast anywhere, you get flown to Harborview. Harborview has the best trauma surgeons in the state and probably the Northwest, though I think Emmanuel in Portland might argue with that. But Harborview, Harborview, Harborview. If you wreck your bike, go to Harborview because they have massive trauma teams there and they will do surgeries. The other bonus is, I hate to say this, right, because I work in this field, but Harborview is a nonprofit hospital. They're with a university. So if you can't pay your bill at the end because you really are poor, you have no insurance, more often than not, they wipe your bill out. So, but in all honesty, to be fair, try not to do that just because it puts a little damp on the system and it's hard.
Within that same thing in Washington State, even if you're paying for your bill, if you haven't paid it off within 2 years, it's gone.
Oh, good to know.
Medical bills cap at 2 years from the date of service.
Take them in.
Good to know, actually.
Talk to a friend about that.
But if you do wreck, and say you're in Cleveland and you wreck, well, we're automatically probably going to take you to Harborview or fly you to Harborview. If you wreck in Ellensburg, they'll take you to the hospital in Ellensburg, then they'll get you to Harborview. But eventually you end up in Harborview. But if you wreck and you're out in the middle of nowhere, just say Harborview. That's all you have to say.
Could you put Harborview on your medical bracelet?
I don't think that's going to matter. So it depends on where you injure yourself and what county you're in and what part of Washington or Oregon or Montana. It depends on where you're at. Like if you're in Montana, you're going to a hospital in Montana, and they're just going to shuffle you through to where they think is appropriate. But if you wreck somewhere in the state of Washington, 9 out of 10 times, you may visit one hospital first, but then you'll end up in Harborview.
How is Ellensburg?
What's
I notice sometimes if we're right up on the county line and we got
to go to
out,
Ellensburg.
About half the time, especially if it's a military helicopter, they'll take them to Ellensburg. Partially because, as one pilot said, where the fuck is Harborview? I'm going to Ellensburg. I passed that when I flew in. So.
So how could I describe the hospital in Ellensburg?
It's
sort of like an urgent care clinic. So yesterday, or the day before, I was at work, and some guy was out hiking. He took a major tumble, and he broke his clavicle. And his buddies got him into the back seat of their truck, and they took him to the urgent care clinic. And so then they call us, and they're like, "Well, we need your help to like backboard him and get him inside, and we're gonna X-ray him."
Wait, they're the fucking hospital?
This is an urgent care center because they're in Cleveland, right? There's no hospital in Cleveland.
So he's already in the back of the truck,
and these people don't know where they're going, but they follow the little blue medical signs, and they end up in an urgent care. And they're like, "Oh, help us get him out. We'll get him inside and do x-rays, and we'll do this and that." And they're like, "Well, hold on. Like, if you're not in an emergency room, we'll just drive him to an emergency room." And so I get in the back of the truck, and I talk to the guy. I said, "Well, does your neck or your back hurt?" "No, just my clavicle." I push along his spine. I check a few other things. I'm like, "Okay, here's how it's going to work. If you get out of the rig right now and we put you on the back room at CCOM, we bring you inside, you're going to get a bill in there. And then they're going to send you to the emergency room anyway. So then they're going to send you by ambulance because you're already strapped down to this big board. So now you're going to get another $1,500 bill. And then you're going to get to go to another ER. So really, if you're fine laying there like that, by all means, just go to the nearest ER. Like, you don't need to go to an urgent care clinic to go in there to get, like, what could you amount to a $3,000 bill? Can you ambulance and get another? And Cleo and the ambulances are cheaper. So I had a friend who was Trish, actually, who had her seizure. And she was somewhere up north, and she got transported to Northwestern Hospital. Her ambulance ride in a private ambulance that did nothing for her other than maybe give her oxygen and have somebody sit next to her was over $3,000. $3,000. And let me tell you something about the private ambulances, and we'll talk about ambulances in the end. They are out for blood, and they will not wipe away your bill after 2 years. They will come after you. So $3,000 was her bill just to go in an ambulance. To go to the hospital. So, but now, right, to be fair, like, you have to ask yourself, how far away am I? Do I want to end up like Christopher Reeve?
But when you say that, do you mean, like, become Superman? Or?
That would be, yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
If you want to become Superman.
If by Super you mean,
on the ventilator,
special?
Your body
super special.
Super is different than special. Yeah. Yeah.
Helicopter rides are expensive, roughly maybe 8, 9, 10, 12, something along those lines. So if you're in Clay Island or Ellensburg and you need to go to Harborview and you're really, really bad and they can't send you by ambulance to Harborview, they will put you in a helicopter. If you wreck in Clay Island and I think you're that bad, you get in a helicopter and you go to Harborview, which is great, right, because you're going to Harborview. That's going to cost you $10,000+ to get in that little helicopter to go. However, if I think you're that bad, I'll send you a helicopter. I don't want to incur anybody any extra costs.
It's kind of like buying the right helmet if you have $10 head. You know, you need to go on a helicopter, go on a fucking helicopter.
Right. So if, you know, but there are some places out there that will try to send you by helicopter and you don't necessarily need to go by helicopter. But if you wreck and you're really hurt and they want to put you in a helicopter, don't argue. $10,000 or even $20,000 is a small amount of money to get to Harborview as fast as you can so those people can cut you open and fix what's broken and you can go back to riding your motorcycle and living your life and having a quality of life. So,
not drilling on your skirt.
So I have to reread my notes because alright. So for if you're gonna help somebody, whether it's in this group with another group with a bunch of people, or if you're like walking down the street and you decide to do CPR on somebody, a lot of people will want to sue you for your efforts because they can sue you because that's what we do, we sue people. But you're covered under what's called the Good Samaritan Act. If you decide to help somebody and you try to perform CPR and in the process you step on their finger and break it, it's okay, don't worry. You cannot be sued for anything. So it's called the Good Samaritan Act. You can look it up. It's across the board. Almost all states have the Good Samaritan Act. So you're protected. So if you stop to help somebody and they're bleeding half to death and you're trying to like wrap their injuries up and something else happens, their spouse or friend or whatever cannot say, well, they made it worse and they caused more damage and so now we're going to take away your house. They can't do that. So the Good Samaritan Act will cover you from all of those.
Well, try to obtain consent if possible.
Can you just work with that?
Yeah.
Can you
just
the way you say is, can I help?
Yeah.
That's
do you need help is what I usually say. Or if you come across somebody who's like sitting in your car and like, do you need help? Are you okay? What's going on? Tell me what's happening.
So what if they're just out of now you help?
Implied consent. If they're unconscious.
Implied consent if they're
like they just say back, no, I don't need any help.
I would still go 911 and just inform the sheriff or the state patrol or whomever.
Yeah, I think that starts very state by state, but if they're like delirious and it seems like medically there is why they're not lucid, then implied consent's wrong.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll just wake up and pass out. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, I'm fine, but all right, good one. Yeah.
Usually the people who are like, no, I don't need any help, or strung out on drugs, alcohol, or something along those lines, or perhaps schizophrenic, or wanting to kill themselves, and you're interrupting their life-ending event, so. I don't have a problem with people killing themselves, for the record, so.
As long as it doesn't involve you.
As long as it's not messy, you don't make a mess in your house, and you don't leave it there for children to see, you're good.
More adventure life.